Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Your host hasn't seen everything in sports, but sometimes he acts like it, and his guests probably have. Now, the host of Scorecard Scribblings, your sports guy, Brent Weber.
Hey, a good Wednesday evening to you, everybody. I'm Brent Weber. Thanks for joining us tonight. A couple of things have happened. We will be talking in just a couple of minutes to my buddy Jake Downey down in La La Land, and we'll talk a little bit about baseball and the Major League Baseball sign-stealing controversy and the tears that are being shed across the land for the boys in blue. We'll get to Jake in just a minute. Also, a little bit later on, I want to hear from the 49ers today at their press conferences, press conference for the playoffs. There is some news from the 49ers. In fact, the big guy, George Kittle, did not practice today. That knee has still been bothering since their win last week, although he is expected to be fine for the weekend. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on. And the Wayback Machine tonight is just for L.A. I'm sorry, Oakland Raiders fans. The Wayback Machine, that'll be coming up a little bit later on. Maybe I'll run that when we still have Jake on the line. And Jake Downey joins us now from Studio City or thereabouts, whereabouts. Earlier in the grocery store, whether he's buying a car or groceries, he'll always join me to talk a little bit of sports, linking the North to the South in the great state of California. Jake?
Oh, man, you're up there in that beautiful area where it actually takes like a minute to drive a mile.
Yeah, it's amazing. Heck, you could walk it.
Where do I sign up? Fresh air, no traffic. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, you'd love it. You'd love it. Well, you're, I don't know. You're an L.A. guy, man. You'd love it for a little while. You'd love it for a little while. Jake, if you haven't caught Jake when he's been a guest before, he and I go back a long time. He's covered a lot of prep sports and other sports in Southern California and Central California and in other parts of the world, the country as well. But we go back covering a lot of that stuff. And he is a guy who has grown up as a Dodgers fan, which is significant this week because I'm trying to tap into your unbiased, once again clearing my throat, opinion. For those of you who don't realize or don't know, I guess I should tell them the story, Jake, that earlier this week, Major League Baseball handed down suspensions to the general manager of the Houston Astros and the manager of the Houston Astros, and then shortly thereafter, the club fired both Jeff Lunau and A.J. Hinch after an investigation into sign stealing, quite literally, and a somewhat elaborate, but, techies would call it ingenious. I agree with the guys who say that this is a perfect example of general managers and this kind of the modern-day GMs and all, they think they're smarter than everybody else. I heard either Dan Patrick or it might have been Rich. But either way, I think this is an example of that. I mean, people know this stuff's going on. It's against the rules. You can't use electronics to gain an advantage in Major League Baseball. It's a rule. And they did change the way after this became a problem, and I'm just giving a lot of background here. This became a problem when baseball went to the replays because they had to put replay booths. It had to be something. They had to have a monitor close by. It had to be things that the managers could get to. Now, they have since put a delay on that to, so that they could get away from sign stealing. Well, I'm sure it wasn't that, but come on. I mean, people knew this stuff was going on, and until Mike Fiers came out, the former Astro pitcher, Oakland A's pitcher, told The Athletic, hey, this is going on, and nobody's talked about it. Now, all of a sudden, the Red Sox, too. Alex Cora, who my understanding is the guy, was the architect of the kind of the setup that they had to illegally, using electronics, replays, and cameras, steal signs. And then by banging trash cans, they would let the player at the plate facing Clayton Kershaw and Yu Darvish. Was that who it was? No. Who was it? No. Who else did they pummel in that game in 2017? Anyway, it was
Kershaw, Darvish, and a host of other.
Yes. So anyway, Jake, that is where we are now, and baseball is still investigating. One source said there could be as many as 8 teams that did this stuff. So baseball obviously has made some moves already. They're showing they're very serious. Your take, and as we move forward now.
Yeah, you know, it's hard for me to really say that the Dodgers got robbed as a fan of the Dodgers, because, A, I don't know what other shoe's going to drop. I don't know if they're going to ding the Dodgers for the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is like steroids where, you know, all of them are doing it, and as much as I was disheartened to have my team lose two World Series in a row, I don't know if it would have made the difference, but it's causing us to talk about it 2 years later. Here's what I can tell you. I paid $1,500 a ticket to take me and my son to Game 7 of the World Series.
Wow.
I've never paid that much for anything, except maybe a car.
Wow.
And so it was an expensive disappointment to lose Game 7. Did it happen because the Astros were stealing signs on the road? No. I mean, the Astros just won the game, and they
right.
won the championship. And I can tell you, and Webby, you saw this on, maybe on my Facebook post, you know, my boy and I went up to Astros fans in the stadium after the game and shook their hands. And you know, it was kind of a teachable moment for me and for Charlie, my boy, because – you know, after our youth games in baseball and basketball, and now he's in high school, he's playing water polo and volleyball, and, you know, you go shake hands after the game. And so I thought it was pretty momentous that Houston won the World Series, their first ever, and there were a lot of people in Dodger Stadium wearing orange, and they were all really nice people. And, you know, at the beginning of game one, I was there at game one 3 hours before first pitch and was having adult beverages with Houston fans and taking pictures with Houston fans and shaking hands and wishing them good luck. And, you know, it was festive and it was friendly.
Yeah.
And, you know, none of the fans in the stadium who spent a lot of money to get to L.A. from Houston knew anything about what their team was up to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, that's the backdrop that, like, I had these personal experiences in the stadium as a fan. I mean, I've covered World Series on the credential and had all the access that you've had over the years. And, you know, it's different there. You have more access. You see more. You learn more. You know more. You're also working. But in this case, you know, for all the press credentials I've had, I was a fan and bought tickets. And it was tough, but I also felt good that, like, Houston won a championship, like, a month or two or 6 weeks after they had, you know, the horrendous storm and flooding, and like life was pretty grim in Houston. I mean,
yeah.
Half that town was underwater.
Yeah.
And I used to work in local news in Austin and spent some time in Houston, so I felt like I knew the town a little bit. And I have friends that I worked with in Austin who were from Houston and, you know, kept up with them on Facebook. So, you know, my frustration with the Dodgers losing was tempered by Houston having, you know, a moment of sunshine amidst a lot of clouds of gray.
Right. Well, and you and I are both huge baseball fans, and so those are the things that we tend to to cling to.
And furthermore, the Dodgers lost game two at home. They were like four outs from winning game two and going up 2-0.
That's right.
And I don't think Kenley Jansen was tipping his pitches to the visitors. I mean, it sounds like the Astros were just using this at home.
Right, right.
So, you know, the Dodgers coughed up game two at home and then coughed up game five on the road.
Right.
I mean, they had Kershaw on the mound in a 4-0 lead in the first inning and gave it all back. And then rallied from down 12-9 in the ninth inning to tie it at 12 and then lost it in either the bottom of the ninth or the bottom of the 10th. But it was one of the, you know, 13-12, one of the best baseball games I ever saw.
Yeah.
So maybe that was a game where the Astros had somewhat of an edge. I don't know.
Yeah. We can't be we can't be revisionist historians, can we? We can't change the games that were played. Hey, let's take a break, Jake. Let's take a break. Hold it right there. Take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue that thought. I caught him in mid-thought. Jake Downey, my guest tonight on Scorecard Scribblings. We're going to get right back to this when we come back. And we'll tell you about a couple of former Giants managers in the news, about these managerial openings, and a couple of more things, too. Stay with us. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Come join me as the new host of brand new Battlefield Expressions show, debuting December 7th, 2019. Battlefield Expressions is a go-to program providing veterans and their families an opportunity to call in and ask questions and receive information particular to their individual needs. Veterans and their families who sacrificed and served our country. Every Saturday, 9 to 11, here at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM Talk Radio.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. Your host, Brent Weber, the sports guy, scorecardscribblings.com. You can order my ebook, which is the newer version of my book, The Sports Guy. What is the name of my book? The Sports Guy, Scorecard Scribblings from an Ordinary Journalist, which you can purchase the updated version of that for. You can read it on your phone, your iPad, or whatever from from Amazon's electronic books, ebooks. You can find all that on that website, scorecardscribblings.com. Anyway, it's not, might be $5. It's not much. My guest is Jake Downey, who's a good friend down in Southern California. We've covered many sports events over the years and enjoyed many others as just regular human beings. And we're talking a little bit about, we're going to get to some other things in a minute, but we're talking, wanted you to have any final thoughts on the, I'm hearing a lot of, to me, it really is just silly whining. That's, you know, I'm not real harsh about stuff like that, but as you said, who knows? The games were played.
I don't know.
They lost. They could have won. Like you said, if they didn't, that was game six, right? The last one that that the Astros were stealing signs. But I think baseball did the right thing in saying, we got to get this electronic sign stealing not cool and getting that out there. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, if they say that's against the rules, then they got to enforce it. And part of the problem has been varying enforcement with, you know, young guys who want to, you know, win favor with the team as opposed to being neutral and kind of playing a policeman and really enforcing the rules as they exist. Mm-hmm. So that's been one complaint, that there's uneven enforcement as to what goes on in the video room. But, you know, one thing, Webb, is, as I was kind of mumbling about in the last segment, I don't think the Dodgers or the Yankees or anyone that the Astros or the Red Sox beat should be given a trophy. I've seen some people say that the trophy should be vacated or returned. Maybe. Because you can't really unwind the hands of time on this. And, you know, I didn't have the moment of seeing my team win the championship. I didn't go to the parade because there wasn't one. So, you know, I don't know if there's much you can do other than just be more vigilant in enforcement going forward. And hopefully these penalties strike the fear of God in management to really crack down on this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I mean, if the other shoe drops on Alex Cora and, you know, it already has that he was fired, and, you know, if he gets a suspension longer than a year, I think that'll speak volumes. And who knows where else this is going to go? I mean, players have very little loyalty to a team that they were traded from or were released from or, you know, when they signed with someone else in free agency.
That's
so
true.
I could see players dropping a dime quietly on former teams.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how deep does this go? And then does Major League Baseball really want to look into it when 7, 8, 9, 10 teams, suddenly a third of all of baseball is doing this stuff? And then it's reasonable for the Astros and presumably the Red Sox are going to get dinged on this too, to say, hey, you busted us. Why aren't you busting these guys who are doing the same thing? So, you know, baseball has a real problem here as we're, what, about 4 weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting and the season starting in late March. And by the way, I'm walking to Dodger Stadium for opening day, and you are cordially invited.
Opening day? Did you do it opening day last year? The last couple? Or I thought it was.
I did.
It was opening day. Yeah.
11 miles through the gritty underbelly of Los Angeles, and I did it with three of my buddies. And hopefully, you can break away from your obligations up there and come on down.
Man, I really, really would love to do that. I really would. Opening camps open. The 10th Pirates and Mets report, 11th the A's and Giants report, and the Dodgers, because life is just a little bit slower for the Dodgers in spring. now that Kirk Gibson's not there, they open on the 13th. Jake Downey is my guest, talking a little bit about baseball. And you know, another thought for me on that, and I'm, again, revisionist history. I'm the kind of guy that I did not like the asterisks from Hank Aaron's the greatest home run hitter of all time, my opinion, no doubt. But somebody hit more home runs than him, and the games counted. And anybody who was covering baseball during that time, myself included, at a very high level, everybody knew, okay? They knew that some players were jacking themselves up in the weight room with steroids and stuff. Everybody knew it. And,
right.
And
it wasn't an accident that baseball didn't bust it because they were struggling after the strike.
Right. And Bud Selig, who gets into the Hall of Fame for his self-righteousness, dudes, he was an owner and a commissioner, and it happened under his watch. So that whole, we shouldn't count those records. No, they happened. They're real. That was in that era and in that time. Who's to say if Ty Cobb had played and when the balls were harder earlier in his career that he wouldn't hit 700 home runs? Nobody cared in those days. They didn't want to hit home runs. It just, in the beginning because the ball was soft. But my whole point there is it's something to talk about in the bar room, but I never liked when college football took away championships from kids that played and won it on the field because their school cheated or paid somebody. I never liked that. I just think that...
Yeah, I mean, didn't Louisville have to give back their basketball product in 2013?
And that's bull, right? I can see coaches getting in trouble because they pay a lot of money, and universities should be hit for stuff like that. And that was like kind of nasty stuff Louisville did. They were almost prostituting out young female students. So with all that said, I'm not condoning, but baseball finally changed the rules. They put steroids on the list, even though you had to have a prescription supposedly to get them, and that's why they were illegal. The whole point is they weren't on a list of substances that you could be banned for or suspended for. And until they did that, baseball had no business going back saying they were going to change it. Whatever happened from that day forward, I'm with you, man. That day forward.
I don't think baseball wasn't very serious about testing.
No, they weren't.
Because the amount of banjo hitting second baseman that got random called for testing and the shortage of slugging outfielders that got called was apparently overwhelming.
Brett Boone.
How many home runs did Brett Boone
hit that year for Seattle or whoever? Put on like 20 pounds, man.
He was a small second baseman who actually bulked up and smacked a lot of home runs.
Well, yeah, I'm teasing. I'm joking. But there were those too, right?
But apparently the random testing wasn't so random. I think baseball didn't want to find what they knew what was there.
When some of those guys, I'm saying, like that guy out of the big leagues already, Brady Anderson. Is it Brady? Yeah. He was out of the big leagues by the time.
Yeah, he was a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, well, what did he hit, 50? And he had never hit 20 in his life. And, I mean, we saw him.
Right.
That's when I was with CNN. And he, in batting practice, I remember he bet my producer, Greg Amonte, $20 that he could go third deck. And I honestly don't remember what stadium it was. Had to be an American League stadium because he was with the Orioles. But the whole point was he hit the facing. He didn't make the upper deck, so he probably still owes Greg $20. But the point there is, come on, they were celebrating it then. They were celebrating it when it was obvious what was going on. I love a guy who gets in the weight room. Big Mark McGwire fan, because Mark McGwire's career should have ended because of that heel injury, because of the Achilles injuries, because of his back injuries. That guy, I would go into the gym at 12:30 in Huntington Beach, okay, in Huntington Harbor, where he lived in Huntington Beach, and I would go in the gym at 12, work out my week workout for an hour, and he would have gotten there and opened that gym up in the off season. 6 a.m. and he's still in there working out. And you know what? Maybe steroids made that possible. Dude worked out 6 hours to get healthy and be strong. And I'm sorry people lied and all that stuff, but I love the game of baseball. And I do hope that those people like you, I appreciate your attitude, is my point, that you're not going to let this sour you on baseball. Because I do agree that part of the game as a former catcher. And I have all kinds of fun anecdotes in my personal life about stealing signs. Stealing signs is an art, man, in the dugout. In the dugout, that's where you steal them. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's when you're using cameras and stuff, that's where it is illegal and so on. So, anyway, moving past that, because we've got other things to talk about. I mean, I do I got to take another break. I'm going to take another break. I do want to talk a little more baseball, Jake, when we come back. Then we'll talk a little bit about where you are right now because it's fun. And then I got a little football. I want to hit on the 49ers as well, as long as you can stick around. I appreciate it. Jake Downey is my guest on Scorecard Scribblings. Brent Weber with you. We'll be back in just a minute with more sports stuff.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Join us February 7th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. for Chocolate After Dark at Turtle Bay. Enjoy chocolate delicacies, wine and beverage tastings, and see our brand new exhibitions. Tickets are $40 and include a souvenir wine glass. Buy your ticket today at turtlebay.org.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, "Our customers are warm friends." We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
We can hit that clip on from Bull Durham there. Jared's going to run because my friend Jake, we don't have to talk about it this time, Jake, but this is what managers do. Remember this clip from Bull Durham when they were losing and Kevin Costner's character crashed, tells him to let him have it in the shower, and this is what happened.
Everybody in the shower! Anybody in the shower in 10 seconds going to get fired $100? Larry! One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi,
get in
five
there.
Mississippi,
hurry it up.
Six Mississippi, seven Mississippi, eight Mississippi, nine Mississippi, ten Mississippi.
You guys, you lollygag the ball around the end. You lollygag your way down the first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you, Larry?
Lollygaggers.
See, and we're not going to we've had this discussion before. We'll have it another time, Jake, but that's why you need – that is why you need a manager. We're talking about managerial positions.
Yeah.
The openings in Houston and Boston, Bruce Bochy has told media outlets that he is putting his career on pause, but he's not after either of those jobs. He's not going to manage this year, but – our understanding is the Sacramento man, Dusty Baker, would be interested in joining one of those two. And as you mentioned, we don't know what the future of Carlos Beltran will be because he was a player on that Houston Astros team that got in trouble for the sign stealing, electronic sign stealing. So there could be another opening.
Yeah. You know, typically baseball looks like a cracking down on management.
Mm-hmm.
Beltran, as a player, was there. And the Mets can, on their own, decide that they can't move forward with Beltran because of the stink of this scandal.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see how this unfolds. For the most part, it's hard for baseball to discipline players without running into a union buzzsaw.
Mm-hmm.
But they're free to do as they wish with field managers and general managers and front office people.
Other names that have been mentioned and some of the similar names for some of these openings of guys that are out there, Hensley Mullins, of course, he has already joined, I think, Carlos Beltran's staff, but I'm sure they'd let him go if he could get hired. The guy speaks like six languages, including Japanese. Mark Kotze, who speaks very little, but a great baseball guy, our old Cal State Fullerton buddy. Jason Veritek, kind of considered to be the Mike Socha of the Red Sox when he was a player, whether or not the Red Sox will go with him, that's my guess they will. And then Ron Renneke, I think, was on Cora's staff, he's been with a lot of teams, a player and coach. He played for the Dodgers, didn't he, at some point? I think. Anyway, I know he was an assistant coach. He was a coach with the Angels and maybe even the Dodgers, too. Anyway, those are names that we're hearing, but I'd love to see Dusty Baker get a shot, boy, with either of those rosters, because there's one of my favorite people all time in baseball and in sports. Let's move forward.
I agree.
Let's move forward, though, Jake. You're on a time crunch. We know you got a deal to close there. Tell us where you are from a sports standpoint. It is paint the picture for us now. I'm seeing a very acrobatic dunk.
Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram.
And again, the name.
I'm going in to buy a car. My boy turned 16, so I need to give him my car, and I'm buying another car. So I actually went in and told the guys I'm going to go out and talk to Brent, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
And I talked over you. It is the Russell Westbrook dealership, right?
Yeah. Sorry, our connection isn't fantastic, but Russell Westbrook Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. And it's about 2 miles from where I live, and they have a basketball court in the showroom, and I'm buying a used car. The guys are all sports fans, and when they're not.
And we're losing you a little bit. I don't know if you're still there, Jake, but folks up here may not know, and you go back to seeing him in high school. Heck, until he got into the NBA, honestly, because he only played 1 year at UCLA, unless you were a scout or Stan Presti or a real basketball person, you had no idea what a great talent he was, or unless you grew up or covered sports in Southern California where he was from, right, Jake?
Yeah, and I was covering high school sports here in SoCal at that time, but didn't know about him. I think UCLA was one of the few schools to offer him a scholarship.
Right.
And he also grew like 3 inches in college. He was like a 6'0 point guard and a bit frail, and he grew and he beefed up a little bit and changed his body and raised his draft stock.
And became, yeah, some kind of, I always felt like, I know he's not in L.A. now, but I always felt as though he, at some point, would wind up with the Clippers. We'll see. It's always felt like he'd be a Clipper to me, but that was when I was covering him.
Yeah, you can't rule that out. I mean, I know he's got just a monstrous contract.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's say the Rockets hit the skids in a year or two, and they want to unload some numbers. I could see him ending up with either the Lakers or the Clippers, but then, you know, it becomes the financial tap dance of trying to set contract going back to Houston.
Right. Now, I don't want to let you go without talking about Hot Mike, because I'm going to be segueing into my look at the NFL playoffs. I picked 3 of 4 winners. I didn't see Tennessee. I didn't see Baltimore falling the way they did. I just didn't see it. But, of course, out here on the West Coast, you got a whole lot of folks that are big fans of the 49ers and big playoff game. We've been hearing you. We heard you on the National Championship College Football broadcast with Hot Mike. Tell fans about that and how they can kind of enjoy that.
Oh, thanks for bringing that up. It's been a real pleasure to work for Hot Mike, which is an app on your phone, on your Android or your Apple device, and you can go to the App Store and download Hot Mic, HOTMIC, and you can look for the logo that's kind of a flame with a microphone. Once you're in and sign up, you can go to broadcasters and follow me, Jake Downey. Webby, I hope at some point I can hook you up with Hot Mic so that you can call some games.
Yeah,
and essentially, we provide alternative commentary to the games on TV. So if you're not enamored of the announcers, come on over and listen to us.
Yeah.
And then the other cool thing that we do is, instead of you having to sit through those commercials for razors or trucks or aftershave or, shall we say, male enhancement stuff, you can actually listen to us answer viewer mail, as it were.
Cool.
I'll answer your texts and your messages and your tweets and anything else. And we actually have some good conversations responding to our viewer questions in the ad breaks between the action. So I've come to really enjoy that as much as I love calling the games. And, you know, we started out doing NFL, and we just did this college game, the title game, but I'm moving right into NBA and also MLB. So being in LA, I'll probably do some Lakers and, I mean, some Dodgers and Angels. With hoops, I'm going to do some Lakers and Clippers. Since I went to San Diego State, I may actually see what kind of audience I can generate with my alumni groups. Since San Diego State's like in the country right now, and there's a lot of buzz about them. They're one of the last two unbeaten in college basketball.
Wow. Hey, do we, Jared, can you cue up the Wayback Machine story, the one? Because I think while I have you on, Jake, maybe you can listen to this and before you go, you might get a kick out of this. You got it? So every show, what I'm trying to do is go back into my career archives and validate my own existence. And this week I thought I would go back to a story I did working for CNN Sports back in 1995. This was as the Oakland Raiders returned to Oakland. After going to Los Angeles, I covered them leaving. I covered them coming back, and I was with CNN. So we're going to do the Wayback Machine here, the Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh.
I wish I had that music. And we're going to hear Vince Cellini introduce that story. If you can stick around and listen to it, can you do that?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, here we go. The Wayback Machine to 95, Raiders fans.
And they're back. It's a revival in the Bay, and our Brent Weber is there live. Good morning, Brent. How are you?
Doing great, Vince. Good morning. The words Oakland Raiders do seem a perfect fit. We have to admit, Los Angeles Raiders never had quite the same ring to it. Here in Oakland, Jack London Square yesterday, a couple of thousand fans were on hand to watch and see some of the silver and black in various different costumes. And
does do
they indeed
TV,
are ready
way,
to see football
Jake.
At their Coliseum again.
I never gave up hope, ever. Ever did I give up hope, never. You never say die. You always win. I knew they'd come back.
I've grown up going to all the games, and they were here. Now this is a dream come true, having them back home.
It's opening Sunday in Oakland. I mean, this is something that is brings back, I'm sure, a lot of nostalgia for those fans there, and certainly I think a lot of the young players on this team presently will recognize that charisma that city has for the Oakland Raiders.
40-year-old backup quarterback Evans, by the way, the only active player who has ever appeared in a regular season game here in Oakland. That was back with the Bears in 81. Now, not everybody's happy about Al Davis's return here to Oakland and the way it went down. The league filed a lawsuit on Thursday. They're not seeking to block the move, but they are seeking $3 to $4 million annually from Davis. They say it's their rightful share as part of the league's revenue sharing program. Davis and the Raiders disagree. Raiders issued a statement on Friday saying, quote, the NFL wants to play football in the courts where we'll bloody them again. The brains behind this sneaky, stupid move are sick and demented and corrupted by power. How sweet is Davis's deal? The first $600,000 of money to defend against that lawsuit will come as part of the arrangement he made with the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum Commission. Some citizens not happy about the arrangement either. They say that the Coliseum folks bit off more than they can chew, and despite promises to the contrary, fear that the burden to pay off this bill will ultimately come back to the taxpayers.
He came, didn't come back to Oakland for love. He came back for money. And he's having trouble selling these tickets. And the reason he's having trouble is because he's priced them beyond the reach of most ordinary fans.
Local and team officials disagree. They say slow ticket sales early on were just due to the short turnaround from the time the deal was done to the time the season started. And also they blame some bookkeeping and marketing problems that have since been rectified. Bottom line, this game is a sellout, and Al Davis did not get many of those in recent years in Los Angeles, Vince.
All right, so that's my buddy, my old cohort, Vince Cellini. As we know, history would tell us, sadly for Raiders fans in the Bay Area, they're leaving again, and it is still all about money. And you know what? Those Oakland Alameda Coliseum folks were right. That city and county got screwed out of millions of dollars by the Raiders. Jake Downey?
Yeah, you know, I'm here. Hi. And that was fun listening to that piece. And you know what, Webby? I was at the CBS station in Santa Maria down the road, and down the road from the Bay Area between L.A. and San Francisco. And they sent me to Raiders training camp in Oxnard that year to go do a story on Napoleon Kaufman, the rookie running back from Washington who had grown up in Lompoc. So I spent a day at Raiders camp. Actually, it was my first story ever at the CBS station in Santa Maria. And, yeah, it was the same buzz about the Raiders playing in Oakland instead of L.A.
And McCallum, hey, he looked like he was going to have a great career, didn't he? They started 8-2, by the way, in that first year back in Oakland. But then they lost 6 straight, missed the playoffs. And then, you know, they got their Super Bowl in there for the Oakland fans. But next year they'll be the Las Vegas Raiders. Doesn't sound right.
You still there?
I'm still here. The Las Vegas Raiders. How does that sound? I think we're losing you, Jake. I think we're losing Jake. That's all right.
I think Las Vegas is a great spot for the Raiders. And if Oakland wanted to keep them, they could have done more than just give them the land. But, you know, the appetite for municipalities handing out money to millionaires for sports complexes that don't really pay for themselves, I think those days are gone.
Yeah.
Especially in California.
And I think in Oakland, and in all honesty, not picking on anybody here, I think they just have a bad taste in their throat from the whole experience with the return and the promises that weren't kept and so on by the Al Davis regime. Whether or not they're still the same, who knows. But that's it. Hey, Jake. Thanks for taking time out. Hot Mike, were you doing any of the playoff games, or what are you doing next?
You know, Hot Mike is trying to figure things out with the NFL. And so, yes, if I call some NFL playoff games coming up, I'll let you know, and you can pass that on to your viewers. But if you go to Hot Mike and download the app, go to Broadcasters and click Jake Downing. Oh, and then the redemption code. That's the important part.
Ooh.
JDRR19.
All right.
JD, my initials. RR is Randy Rosenblum, my partner's initials, and then 19 for the year we started. So JDRR19, and that's the code that gets you in. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to get some messages from Reading. I have a cousin up there who's been sending me messages when he's been watching. So I'd love to get a second person in Reading to tell me how terrible I am.
I love you, man. All right, thanks, Jake. Tell the family hello, and the season will be opening. The walk will begin to Dodger Stadium soon. Jake Downey, my guest tonight. We're going to take another break. Let him go back to buying his car, L.A. area sportscaster. When we come back, we'll check in on the NFL playoffs, see what kind of time we have in that last segment. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Alrighty, back on Scorecard Scribblings, your host Brent Weber. Hey, just checking out Shasta County Sports. There's a big dual wrestling match tonight. Enterprise, Shasta at Enterprise. Love high school wrestling. I wrestled some in high school. Horrible wrestler. I was a horrible wrestler. I went winless one entire season on junior varsity. I think it must have been varsity. I went winless. And then in the county tournament, somebody at a higher weight didn't make weight, so I wrestled at like 155, which was like two weight classes above me, and I won. That was the only one I ever had. That guy was really bad. He was a really bad wrestler. Anyway, enough of that. A little more sports. Want to talk a little bit about football since last week and since we are live and, you know, able to hit some other topics. Of course, the gosh, there are a couple of NFL games. I'm totally forgetting that part. The conference championships coming up Sunday, 12:05 Pacific time, Tennessee at Kansas City, all the way with Kansas City. I don't know. That special teams meltdown almost cost them. A year ago, they were, I think, the best team in the NFL and heavily favored in the playoffs, and they lost. And We know what happened this year. Could Tennessee be the team that just is so hot? I don't know. I've tried to study them more. I think Kansas City can beat a one-dimensional team, and I think they are the most dangerous team in the playoffs. And that includes the 49ers, who offensively, I'm not seeing the consistency that I think you need from them. But against a Green Bay team that I think you could say the same thing about, that is, I'm not totally afraid of them. I think these are the best teams of what I've seen. You got to give Tennessee credit for who they beat. So Green Bay, San Francisco is at 3:40 our time on Fox. Tennessee, Kansas City, 12:05 on Sunday on CBS. But as for those 49ers, both teams in that matchup, same records, 14-3. They'll be playing at Levi's Stadium. This will be their eighth playoff meeting in the last 25 years. They had press conference today. And let's hear first from head coach Mike Shanahan.
And even if you go back and watch our game, I mean, that was a lot more. That was much more competitive than the score looked. And, you know, you get 38 points and things like that, but you go to some of the turnovers that happen, some big plays, but it was a lot harder of a game than it seemed. And all the other games that you watch on tape, it looks like you're playing a real good team. It looks like you're playing a team that has the record that they do.
That is head coach. Let's listen to the next one.
Stepping up. How much of that is something you've really instilled, and how much of that is the character of the guys you have on the team?
Yeah, it's something you talk about a lot because it's your goal, but you can't just talk people into being that way. They got to actually be that way. And guys are extremely competitive. Everyone wants to help and contribute. But I think it has to do with that our team really likes each other. I mean, I know how close Akello and Mosley are. I know how much they all respect each other. Our team, I feel like, is as tight of a team as I've been on, and I think that's what helps us in situations like that.
All right, that's head coach Kyle Shanahan. Now let's go to the kid. He had a rough game against the Vikings. I gave the Vikings some defense, some credit in that one. Held him to 131 yards passing. He took some licks, and, I mean, he took some licks early in that game. They did win. He threw a pick, one touchdown. Completed 58%, but only 131 yards. They're going to need more of that against the Packers. They're going to need to be able to throw the football against the Packers. So let's hear now from quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo about why his team is, you know, not really overwhelmed in what we call these big game situations.
Yeah, well, it definitely, you know, you feel it in there. It's definitely a loose atmosphere, but, I mean, that's kind of how it's been all year, you know, just guys are loose, but they're locked in at the same time, and it's a unique combination, but you know, we have the guys that are able to do it.
All right, that's Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback today at practice, at the press availability, and also Emmanuel Sanders. This is a confident bunch. Let's hear from him.
And the trophy.
You're only used to the AFC Championship.
Exactly.
Does this week do you sense it's ramping up here in terms of the hype and what's at stake?
Nah, I don't feel it ramping up. It's crazy. It just feels like another regular season game. You know, I feel like the past four games, even in a regular season, it was like playoff football. It was so much, you know, pressure and us having to perform to try to get the number one seed that you just kind of get used to it, right? Every week's been a big week ever since, I feel like, you know, the third game I've been here. So you just kind of get used to, you know, everybody saying, oh, yeah, the pressure is here, the pressure is that. It's a big game. We got to have the biggest game if we want to do this and we want to do that. So I think it's a good thing, you know, to have that kind of environment instead of everybody saying, oh, it's a big game this week, and then everybody, you know, letting the pressure, you know, take control of them. Instead, you just kind of just get used to it.
That's Emmanuel Sanders, and very confident, but cool, collected. I'm picking the 49ers. I think they're a little better defensive team than the Green Bay Packers are. I know my daughter-in-law will not be happy with me. She is an owner of the Packers. Who else is playing? Oh, yeah, just kidding. I already told you I'd go with the Chiefs and the other one. We'll see if I'm right next week. Hey, Shasta, basketball women, 12-7 overall, but they've dropped their first two GVAC games. They are at Butte on Saturday. The men are 10-10. Simpson, big game at home, big doubleheader at home on Thursday against Merced. The guys are now 10-5, 2-1 in league. The women did get a win in league, and so they are 1-2 in their league play. Warriors are in action tomorrow night at home against Denver. Dallas at Sacramento tonight. Thanks, Jake Downey, for joining us. Find him on Hot Mic, JDRR19. Thank you to Jared King. I'm Brent Weber. This is Scorecard Scribblings.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on